Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the latest Locked On Wolves podcast, where I am joined in studio by Tim Fakeless, City Pages contributor, also a contributor to A Wolf Among Wolves. Timmy, how are you doing?
I'm all right. Thanks for having me on. That's weird to say while I'm sitting in a studio with you.
This is pretty funny because Tim and I just wrapped up recording and publishing the latest edition of Wolves Wired, which is a weekly podcast that's part of the Cold Omaha Podcast Network. You can catch it at coldomaha.com. But this is Locked On Wolves, and so we're going to do things a little differently, maybe?
We'll see.
The Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Timmy, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. Just the immediate family, brother, parents. Mom cooked, I cleaned.
What is your favorite Thanksgiving dish, aside from the turkey, of course?
Even above the turkey, I'd say the stuffing.
Really?
I'm a stuffing
guy.
I'm
a mashed potatoes and gravy type of guy myself.
You can't go wrong with that.
I should introduce myself. My name is Zachary Bennett, if you didn't already know that. Timmy decided to hang around in the studio after we wrapped up Wolves Wired to talk some more about the weekend in Wolves basketball that featured a 98-85 victory over the Phoenix Suns and a 115-102 defeat at the hands of the Golden State Warriors. Timmy, where do you want to start? The Phoenix Suns game, I think?
That would make sense in chronological order, yes.
Chronological order, that's a good way to do it. The Wolves were in a heated battle, I guess you could call it. Probably not.
I mean, if you're going to work with puns, yes, a heated battle. It would be better with the Heat, but Suns for sure.
On the road, taking on Phoenix, a couple days removed from a underwhelming performance in New Orleans.
Yes.
The Wolves are down 10 in the third quarter, but holding their own, and Tom Thibodeau,
very good,
makes the decision to bring in Tyus Jones, and it worked for him. How about it?
Yeah, he looked good on both ends. It was something I'm not used to. I mean, to a certain degree, he's been at least the second best point guard offensively for the Wolves this year. Defensively, he's kind of just been himself, which isn't necessarily a compliment, but on what day would that have been? Friday, he looked pretty good defensively. He got a charge, he got a steal. He did some good things for him.
I think you mentioned a stat earlier. The Wolves were a positive 18 with him on the floor.
22.
In 18 minutes. Tyus played the whole fourth quarter. He ends up finishing the game with 18 minutes, scores just 6 points. You know, not a gaudy stat line. Scores 6 points, has three assists, two steals, two rebounds, but just did an excellent job of managing the game. Here's what Tom Thibodeau had to say afterwards. Tom Thibodeau.
Put the hammer. You guys really put the hammer down in the final 9 minutes or so.
That was, our best fourth quarter of the year. So we thought the defense was good.
Wow,
those are some words.
Offensively,
yeah.
I thought we made the extra pass. We made good plays. Wig was attacking, going downhill. I thought Tyus got us organized, gave us a great lift off the bench. Thought Carlo was terrific in the fourth. I thought Wig came up with a big rebound for us, you know, over the top. It was a big play for us down the stretch.
The Wolves outscore Phoenix 31-10 in the final frame. As Thibodeau alluded to, Towns scores 7 points in the fourth, shoots 3 of 5 from the field. Just a refreshing victory, I'd say, if you're a Wolves fan.
Yeah, a badly needed one, too. I think just this combination of them not starting as hot as people were hoping for. Wiggins was in a shooting slump. He got out of it a little bit that game. We'll talk about the following game later. Right.
Yeah.
But it was just refreshing to see them, A, not get worked in the third, and B, not just close out a game, but do it in, you know, pretty dominating fashion.
And stop me if you've heard this before. I'm kidding. Don't, because you would end up stopping me very quickly. Tom Thibodeau using his point guards like a baseball manager would use his pitchers. He's got a starter, he's got a middle reliever, and he's got a closer now.
A great mind once said that on a great podcast. I can't remember who or what it was, though. Yeah. Ricky is the starter. He's your, should we do mid-2000s twins here? He was your, who's a good example? I don't want to use Johan Santana because that's too easy.
You can say Brad Radke.
Brad Radke, there we go. Juan Rincon comes in.
Whoa, wow.
Chris Dunn, and then you got Joe Nathan. Tyus Jones.
Tyus Jones is the Joe Nathan?
Sure.
I wonder, Joe Nathan was like 6'6", right? Tyus Jones a little shorter than
I don't
that.
Think he was too tall. You might be thinking of John Roush, who they got after, who was like 6'11".
Yeah, yeah. I'm not an elite Twins mind, you'll have to forgive me.
Me neither. Don't worry.
There is no Locked On Twins podcast, or I would plug that right now. But you can listen to Locked On Vikings. Sam Ekstrom, Sage Rosenfeld.
I'm still in awe that he's a host. That's cool.
Sage Rosenfeld?
Oh, 6'4". Joe Nathan was 6'4". Oh, is 6'4".
Oh, okay.
You were right, sort of.
You can,
he's tall.
You can hear Sage and Sam talk about the disappointing loss on Thanksgiving for the Minnesota Vikings.
That was brutal.
To the Motor City Kitties. But
on topic.
Yeah, back on the Timberwolves. Any pertinent storylines? Towns and Wiggins led the way in terms of scoring. Wiggins with 25 points, 7 of 18 shooting. As you said, found his stroke again after that 2 of 19 debacle in New Orleans. Although he did say that he found good shots, and Thibodeau agreed, but they just didn't go in. I suppose that's what regression to the mean looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, anyone who thought that he was going to lead the league in three-point shooting all year was kidding themselves. I've said that he is taking good shots, and the shots that he was making early just aren't going in right now, but I have also said that I don't think it would be the worst idea if he tried to get a few more post-up looks, tried to get to the hoop more off the dribble. He's doing a lot of works around screens and pulling up for jumpers, both mid-range and from three right now. And if you're in a slump, as far as I know and as far as I've been told in the past, working your way inside out works.
Yeah, or getting to the line too and seeing the ball go in
exactly.
The hoop, as the saying goes. Somebody's checking on us here at the Cumulus Studios located in Dinkytown, Minneapolis.
That's true.
Henry the Engineer, I believe is his name.
Ah. Anyway.
Not used to seeing people in the studio on a Sunday, no biggie.
Yeah, that threw us off.
Back on topic, it was during the game, during like the first quarter, I tweeted something to the effect, or I'll quote it verbatim, I said, I take solace in knowing that Tyus didn't do anything to play his way out of the rotation.
That's true.
He didn't. And up until recently in these last two games, he hadn't been playing at all. And it was perplexing, to say the least. I mean, I get the fact that Thibodeau wants to develop Chris Dunn. Mm-hmm. And Ricky Rubio is still a very solid player. Mm-hmm. But it was obvious to see while Rubio was out that there were things that Tyus Jones did that benefited the Wolves. And, it was very odd that he was not playing. So good to see him back in the game.
Agreed.
Doing things that helped the team win. Anything else on Phoenix? Really?
Not really. It was a nice win.
First
end of a back-to-back, which
would
lead to our next game.
Yeah, the Warriors. But I will mention, too, Wiggins played 40 minutes. Gorgui Dieng.
Nice!
37 minutes. Towns, 35. Somewhat concerning going into the second night of a back-to-back, but the Wolves have... performed.
It's weird hearing you pronounce Gorgie's name right. I just wanted to
correctly
throw that out there. Yeah.
Shouts to all of the people who have told me that I have been doing that incorrectly. Segueing into the Wolves' loss to the Warriors. Again, high minute totals for most of the Wolves starters. Wiggins, not the not the greatest performance by any means. He shoots 1 of 6 from the 3-point line, 6 of 15 from the field. His 3-point percentage has dropped to 39.1, if you're curious, which is okay. Could be better.
Yeah.
Better than the 30.9 that he finished last year with.
It's fine.
Zach LaVine looked really, really good. Finishes 13 of 24 from the field. You could tell he got up to smell the popcorn for this one. He was calling for the ball early and making some tough shots. There was a moment late in the game, a little over 3 minutes left. Wolves come up with a turnover. They're down 8. Chance to pull it to 5 or 6. And Towns clapping for the ball. Gets it on a pass from Tyus Jones. 14 seconds left in the shot clock. Hucks up a 3. Misses. I thought that was the turning point in the game. They were battling back in the fourth quarter, but after the Warriors jumped out to, they got off to a hot start in the third quarter, right out of the gate after halftime, and
yep.
The Wolves just couldn't catch up.
Yeah, I just tend to think that the Warriors are experienced and have won enough and have experienced enough adversity collectively that when they go down by double digits, they are not as concerned as the Wolves are, even when they're up by double digits, especially against a team like the Warriors. I mean, I'm just picturing a team that's used to losing, beating a team by 10, or, you know, leading a team by 10, I should say. And then I consider what the Warriors must be thinking at that point, which is probably like, okay, you know, Steph Curry can get us out of this in a minute.
They're not even thinking at that point.
Yeah, they're not playing. Worried about it. They're just playing basketball, whereas the Wolves are actively thinking, oh my God, you know, we're up 10. We got to keep this going. What do we need to do to keep this going? Whereas the Warriors are just, you know, like you said, they're playing basketball.
I certainly think there's something to that. We use the cliche all the time, learning how to win, learning how to play for
right
48 minutes and, you know, getting those repetitions when you're ahead on the road. It can be hard to do sometimes, especially for a team that's 5-11 and that
right.
hasn't been in those situations. They're 2-7 on the road this season now. Worth noting, Golden State was without Draymond Green in this game.
Mm-hmm. That was big.
They were also without James Michael McAdoo.
Less big,
yeah. Shabazz Muhammad. It was not a duplicate of his performance against the Warriors last season when he scored 35 points. I thought he did some okay things, but, you know, his three-pointer wasn't falling. He didn't make any shots, and his 4 points game at the free throw line. He's been out of sorts of late, or all season.
All year, he hasn't really done. I think he had one game where he shot the ball okay, or like, you know, was an active participant on defense. I'm holding the microphone now,
Did you just go Alan Horton on the bit?
I did.
Grab the microphone.
But. He just hasn't had it all year. There hasn't really been one guy that you've been able to rely on for points off the bench. Bielitsa maybe being an exception.
Tyus Jones too.
Yeah, but not even him.
Not even scoring wise.
Right. He hasn't been like a contributor on a frequent basis, and that's not just because of playing time. I don't think he's not consistent yet.
No.
He's been good lately, but he hasn't been consistent yet, in my opinion.
No, I think you're totally right in that. Bielitsa has been the most active, nice. I'm proud of you for putting that, reassembling that. If you would have told me at the beginning of the season that Bielitsa would be the, I guess, if there's a sixth man on the team, I suppose you could say it's Bielitsa, which is...
Yeah, I suppose.
It'd be tough. I mean, it's grim.
Not a good thing.
It's a grim situation. I thought he played well against the Warriors. The plus-minus wouldn't reflect that. He made some nice plays. He made some...
bad plays.
Ill-advised passes. There was
one
that comes to mind. He threw it cross-court.
And it went to the fourth row.
Over LaVine's head. Rubio, decent game for him. Typical 6 points, 7 assists. Only 1 turnover, which is much better than his 5-turnover performance the night before.
Yes.
We already talked about Wiggins. Gorgui Dieng got a lot more minutes than he did in the road matchup against the Warriors last season. I thought he held his own defensively. He didn't get totally exposed, but Draymond being out.
I thought Gorgui looked flat out good defensively, especially for a while in that first quarter when they built that early lead. I thought he was great, but yeah, Draymond being out had a big impact on that. Instead of facing Draymond Green, He's facing
the likes of JaVale McGee.
Well, who's the starting four?
Well, it was Kevin Looney.
Kevin Looney, that's right. Yeah, JaVale McGee, who got destroyed by Andrew Wiggins late in the third quarter, if you recall.
Put him on a poster.
We didn't even talk about back-to-back poster dunks by LaVine and Wiggins in back-to-back nights.
It's because we've seen that before.
I don't think we had seen that from LaVine yet, though. I don't think he's dunked on anyone in his career yet. I couldn't think of one time where he really got somebody the way Wiggins has in the past.
No, now that you mentioned it, I suppose, no. Alex Len is who he got.
He got him good.
In the Phoenix game, he certainly did, but...
Someone got this great photo of him jumping in the air, like, right at his peak. Well, I take that back. Not at his peak, because it looks like he's kind of just jumping straight up, and the hoop's, like, way... Yeah. It's, like, yards away, and I'm wondering, how on earth is he going to get that? But obviously, we know that he did.
I saw you tweet it. It was... You know, you look at the image, and when you realize that he dunked it, it's...
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
Karl Anthony Towns, poor shooting night for him, 8 of 21 from the field, 1 of 6 from behind the three-point line. That trying to make his impact on the game with that three late that would have cut it to 5, maybe you could define it as an instance of hero ball. I don't know. We've spent time in the studio, you know, hashtag get Towns more post touches 2016, 2017. I certainly am an active participant in that.
Yes.
I would like to see more free throws. I thought he was playing. You know, he did have some nice moves around the rim, and there was one specifically he finished through a double team with his left hand. He sort of just lofted it in there, didn't use glass or anything like that. So he's down there at times. I think he needs more post touches, but he isn't getting a lot of calls for whatever reason. Maybe, I know Thibodeau mentioned that after the, I think it was the Boston game? Yeah, the Boston game, maybe the Philly game. But, you know, he's just not getting a lot of calls down there this season, and he's definitely taking more threes, as we mentioned on a different podcast. He's up to 66 three-point attempts this season. That's 22 shy of the 88 attempts he took all of last season.
And we are in November. That is important to remember.
Yes, it's still very early. If 5-11, 16 games through, only 4 more games until Chris Dunn takes over the starting point guard role.
Oh, that's right.
Counting them down.
And just a couple more losses until a superstar is traded.
Yes, a young superstar.
It's not one of the Wolves' older superstars.
No.
So does that mean it's not Ricky? I don't want to do this again. This part of it.
No, I waxed. What is the word I want to use? I pontificated.
Nice.
On the last Lockdown Wolves that, if it would be any player on the Wolves, it seems likely that it would be one of either Shabazz Muhammad or Ricky Rubio. If you're trading for a well-established veteran, I didn't go down the laundry list of well-established veterans who are being made available in trade talks, but
right.
I imagine that any of them would have a significant cap hit of at least $10 million or more, which is the amount
right.
of cap space the Wolves have. So you're not going to deal a Shabazz Muhammad. You're not going to be able to deal a Shabazz Muhammad on a rookie deal and absorb the contract of a veteran because you're not going to have the room. So if you want to make the move, seems logical that it would be Ricky Rubio.
I just think that whole rumor is a big boiling pot of crap.
I'm glad you said it. I was waiting for you. I'm trying to set the table.
Just a load of crap.
Mr. Bucher, it was the first report I've ever seen that came to the surface in a Twitter video that was like animated and it had graphics and all that stuff.
Get out of here. It's a load of crap.
So, not worth.
I don't doubt that he has people telling him things. I still think it's a load of crap.
Yeah,
the way it was phrased, everything, just load of crap.
It would have to, if you're going to deal a point guard with the way that the point guard by committee situation is happening now, you must have to get a point guard in return, which would seem a little odd.
Who needs a point guard right now?
When you have Wiggins handling the ball in the fourth quarter, I don't know.
No, what team needs a point guard right now?
The Bulls don't. No, they have.
The Lakers don't. The two teams that they were talking about, that Bucher was
the
disgusting.
The Kings have been mentioned in multiple.
Yeah, that's one.
They have something called Garrett Temple, and well, Collison's back now.
Collison's solid for him.
He was just serving a suspension, but you know, you don't want those problems if you're the Wolves, right?
No, Ricky Rubio doesn't want those problems as a point guard.
So,
although playing with Boogie, I'm sure it'd be fun.
Playing with Boogie would be fun. The Wolves' upcoming schedule, they've got Utah tomorrow, or today, rather. I'm sorry. This is being recorded on Sunday. You are listening on a Monday. They have New York on Wednesday, so it should be a fun
week. That's right.
Should be a fun week. They are currently 13th in the standings, which is one better than they were the last time.
Right.
I spoke. I almost said we there.
Progress.
I was by myself. So they jump Phoenix. They're 5-11, one game back of New Orleans, who they were just recently defeated by. Denver is 6-10. They defeated the Phoenix Suns earlier Sunday afternoon. The Kings are 6-10. They seem to be in disarray. They are the one team in the league that is giving up more points per possession in transition opportunities than the Wolves, which is something I hope to expound upon in a written article published at coldomaha.com.
So maybe I'm excited to read it.
Check that out tomorrow or the next day if it, you know, ever indeed comes to fruition. Any thoughts? Anything you're looking forward to this week? I'm excited to see the Jazz. I think that'll be a fun game.
Yeah, I think both you and I are pretty big on the Jazz, so that should be fun. I'm a huge Gordon Hayward fan. I did see Derek Favors will not be playing in that game,
ooh,
which is kind of a bummer, but he hasn't played in like the last four or five games.
That matters.
But
Trey Lyles is pretty good, though.
Trey Lyles is good. Boris Diaw, as we have discussed, is not right now.
He's not having a good...
He's not good.
He's not having a good shooting year. Shooting 30% from the field, 12% from three.
Either way, Rudy Gobert, love watching him. Gordon Hayward's one of my favorite players. Alec Burks is a person.
George Hill.
I think you could qualify him as my boy. Maybe even your boy. But...
I can get
Rodney
down.
Hood.
I get down with George Hill,
who I've been a staunch defender of since he was a Dookie. I was big on the Wolves, considering drafting him once upon a time.
He's having a very nice season.
But yeah, I just like their team. They're incredibly deep. They're incredibly fun. I hope they make the playoffs. I think they have a bright future, and I'm excited to see them tomorrow.
They've had a weird year in terms of, you know, I'll just go down: loss, win, loss, two wins, a loss, two wins, a loss, two wins. Four losses, two wins. So they're streaky. I don't think the Wolves have won consecutive games all season. They haven't, actually.
That's a bummer.
Isn't that terrifying to think about?
That means they're due. I'll say this, I'll be profound. I still think that they're going to come close to 40 wins this year. But
did you throw out
this period is rough.
A preseason win per...
Oh, yeah. I said they were making the playoffs because why not?
What was the win total you gave them? I said 46.
Something like 46, 47, yeah. I think I said 47.
It's not looking great, Bob.
No, but 40 wins, still doable. If they get to around 40, I think you can chalk this season up as a success, considering where they were the year before. It'll depend on, you know, their quote-unquote big three. We'll see.
Cool. I think that about wraps it up. For Tim Fakeless, City Pages contributor, a Wolf Among Wolves bloggist. You can find him on Twitter at TIMFAKLIS. My name is Zachary Bennett. This has been the Locked On Wolves podcast.
Whoa!
I almost, you know, mixed it up. Oh, well. So long. Talk to you tomorrow.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.